The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Enjoy family time like no other.
Hello and good morning. Brendan Courtney here in for Ryan again today and tomorrow. Happy Thursday. I used to love Thursday. Do you remember Top of the Pops? You'd look, and it'd be Friday tomorrow. Anyway, I'd love to hear from you this morning. Text 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie. Now, I mentioned yesterday that I'm doing a run for charity. So after the show yesterday, I went up to the Phoenix Park and I was doing my run. Now, I don't want to become one of those presenters who talks about running all the time, but I do have a free pass because I am doing it for charity. Well, I do live right beside the park and I walk the dog there most days. So now I'm running there as well. So as we're trotting along yesterday, as usual on my run, I see some bewildered looking tourists all wrapped up in padded coats and waddling along on a couple of Dublin bikes, kind of lost, going up a hill. And I always know what they're looking for. And I have become this slightly demented, self-appointed tour guide for the Phoenix Park. I always stop and I always shout, "Are you looking for the deer?" More often than not, English is not their first language. So it takes a few goes. They're like, "Okay, what? What's this crazy man in the shorts and the tiny dog shouting at us for?" Eventually, we kind of understand each other. "Are you looking for the deer?" And they go, "Oh yeah, the deer, the deer." So delighted with myself, I point them in the right direction and off they go. But I always make a point of saying, stay back from the herd. Very important, 50 metres. And do not feed them. Do not feed the deer. So if you see a crazy queen running through the park pointing people towards the deer, it's probably me. Anyway, somebody has told me that there is an app for tracking the deer, but it also has apparently the rules for engagement. So stay back from the deer, don't feed them. But they're such a phenomenon and so beautiful. And I ran through a herd yesterday of about 300. Absolutely stunning. So obviously well worth going to the park. I love the park. What would we do with that park? Actually, on running, look at this. In the Times, run for your life, exercise, oh my goodness, smug level 10. Exercise wipes out heart disease risk from insomnia. 150 minutes of jogging, swimming or cycling each week eliminates the ill effects of poor sleep, the study suggests. After bad night's sleep, the thought of dragging yourself out of bed to go for a run can seem especially unappealing. However, this study has found that exercise becomes even more important if you have insomnia, as it offsets the negative health consequences of not getting enough sleep. Wow. Sleeping less than 6 hours a night has shown to significantly increase the likelihood of dying from heart disease, but the risk appears to dissipate in people who do plenty of exercise. Another reason to feel smug about running through the park and shouting at people, "That way to the deer!" I am obsessed with the Gwyneth Paltrow court case. Have you been watching it? If you haven't, you're missing out on entertainment gold. So Gwyneth Paltrow is countersuing another skier for a collision on a Utah ski slope back in 2016. I'm not going to get into the legality of it, but the interactions between her and Christian Van Orman, who's the prosecution for the other side, are bizarre and hilarious at very best. Now, it's expected to conclude today, but the courtroom drama has been seriously amplified by her choice, by Gwyneth's choice of outfits. She knows the world's watching, right? And The Guardian have done a deep dive into her sartorial choices. So on day one, Paltrow wore a high neck jumper. It appears to be from the Italian luxury brand Loro Piana. Loro Piana, one of Vladimir Putin's favourite labels, also appears in the TV show Succession a lot. It's known, nicknamed Uniqlo for billionaires by fashion insiders. The turtleneck, just a cream cashmere turtleneck, is priced at €1,350 online. She then appeared in a moss green wool coat from US brand The Row, €4,400 online, and black lug-soled boots for Prada, €1,300. Now, this report says Paltrow's court wardrobe reflects a wider trend for, this is the phrase, stealth wealth. You needed to hear this. Clothes that murmur rather than loudly declare their value. Free from garish logos, colourways and patterns, these pieces are redolent of a new low-key luxury. So it's all about low-key. These brands are easily recognised by members of her tribe, says Milton Pedrazza, chief executive of the Luxury Institute, a research group in New York. The wearer makes a statement without having to try to make a statement. Everyone who knows, knows. So only people who know, and they are the only people you want to know. The godmother of low key, I just remembered, was the late Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. And Carolyn Bessette Kennedy was the late John F. Kennedy Jr.'s wife, and they were tragically killed in a plane crash, you might remember. But I remembered a story that went viral even before the internet. Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, who was Ralph Lauren's muse, sidebar, was sent Prada's first ever sportswear collection. The whole collection. It was tracksuits, it was trainers, it was hoodies, it was coats, jackets. And Carolyn Bessette Kennedy sent it back to Prada and said if they removed all external labelling, she would consider wearing the collection. How amazing. She became my muse then. I was kind of slightly obsessed with her. So low key, if you're that rich. So Gwyneth's trying to make a low key statement to her fans. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, that case concludes today. Now, I have something I want to get off my chest. I read a really alarming article about the damage of fake grass. Fake grass is doing terrible damage to the environment. So I have to ask the question, fake grass, where do we stand on it? The fake grass, basically 30% of Irish homes have fake grass. So artificial grass stops food for living creatures in the garden, so kills off all the little creatures that live in the garden. Soil is a natural carbon store, especially if plants are growing in it. Okay, and also artificial grass is made from nylon, so it goes into the system and stays there for hundreds of years, as we know. So do you have fake grass? Where do we stand on it? Text 51551. I know a friend of mine, so in defense slightly of fake grass, a friend of mine has a tiny balcony in his apartment, and he has just put a little bit of fake grass there, which he hoovers, which is quite weird to watch. But so sometimes fake grass does make sense. So I don't want to completely damn it, but 30% of Irish homes have fake grass. Where do we stand on it? I want to hear from you. 51551. Let's have a little song in the meantime while you're thinking about your fake grass.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Gotta say how I feel. I can't believe you're here.
Love Gabrielle. Dreams can come true. Lots of texts about Gwyneth's courtroom attire choices. Connor texts in, money talks, wealth whispers, Brendan. Love that, Connor. On exercise, Marie texts, Brendan, speaking of exercise, I'm all kitted out for my aqua aerobic session this morning. You go for it, Marie. You go, girl. You do it. Simon texts in, good morning, Brendan. I'm painting the kitchen here this morning in my Laura Piano duds, where it would wear nothing else while working. Good for you, Simon. Low key. Yeah, as Connor said, money talks, wealth whispers. Now, there's been a huge response to fake grass. Somebody just messaged in, there's fake grass at the new bus stop in Greystones, County Wicklow. Shocking, really, that public bodies would pay for something so unnecessary. Oh, Greystones, have a word. Next one, hideous stuff, fake grass. It is so obviously fake. And remember, it ends up in landfill when it's finished with. It should be banned. Another message, I really detest fake grass. Would lice seem to love living underneath it, though? Another one, I think fake grass is absolutely vile. Everybody seems to be hating it. In a world where 70% of natural habitats and animals have been destroyed, I'm not sure if that's true, surely we don't have to cover our own gardens in plastic to add insult to injury. It looks awful, too. Thanks, Katrina. Now, here's somebody who makes a very valid point. Brendan, fake grass is brilliant. I have it on Dad's grave. Better than the white stones that go green over time. Thanks a million, Declan in Dublin. We had a big reaction to our discussion about, my discussion, one-sided, about fake grass and that 30% of Irish homes have fake grass. And somebody's calling in from Kildare. Marco Loughlin joins us on the line quickly to defend fake grass. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Brendan. Thanks for giving us a chance to put the other side of the argument.
Please go for it. What's the story with fake grass? Why shouldn't we be so worried?
Well, look. I welcome the criticism. I missed the very start of the show, but I heard a couple of words like vile and how hated it is. Look, from my point of view, it's a practical solution for, you know, young families or kids and a dog and a smaller garden. I argue you can still have a garden. My own garden, I did in 2001.
Yeah.
So it's 22 years and still going strong.
Very good.
Yes. Currently, the older generations of grass do end up in landfill, and that's just a fact of life. Now, the environmentalists don't seem to be as worried about the concrete slabs and the tarmac and the Italian travertine.
Good man, Mark. Well said.
But I'm happy to kind of announce that we have partnered with a new Dutch concern who have, environment front and centre, so it's a fully recyclable and recycled product. So in 10 or 20 years, when this generation is being changed out, people will be stealing it out of skips. It'll be worth €500 a ton. it'll be locally recycled. So, you know, it needs government legislation and shows like our own to point out the issues with currently to drive change. So kind of we'd like to think we're market leaders here, and we're kind of getting ahead of the curve on that. And I just mentioned to your researchers, I've just published a book, the Becari Green book, all about artificial grass, which, you know, meets all the pros and cons head on. And I also attack real lawns that, you know, they're a monoculture, they're high maintenance, and they have problems as well.
So what's the name of the book?
The Big Hairy Green Book, all about artificial grass and the adventures of the guy who made it big in the Emerald Isle,
the Brackets, big
which already had lots of good grass.
So I did slightly defend it and say my friend has a balcony, of course, where you couldn't possibly grow grass, and it really suits sort of smaller places as well. Like, it can really work.
Absolutely. Look, it's not for everybody, and we're the last people to push it. It's only some people come to us. But yeah, we reckon we've done at least 15,000 gardens in Ireland. Yeah. But like people who have done an extension and suddenly their garden is smaller and their family is growing. Look, we plant, we put in beds, but, you know, have a practical everyday use of a lawn. We put it into schoolyards instead of a horrible concrete yard.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we got to hear your side of the coin. Thank you so much, Mark. Have a great day. Now, after the news, Claire Byrne, thank you for this morning, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.